if jail was hard the first time, like I've been to jail twice, maybe I wouldn't have done the second crime. A lot of people don't go to jail because they're scared of it. A lot of people who have never been, they don't commit crime because they're scared of jail. So after going to jail and experiencing what it was like, maybe if it was harder, maybe I would have fought harder not to get involved in anything.
Hi guys.
Hello.
Hello Claire.
How is everyone?
I'm all good, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you. Yeah.
Very polite start. That was.
I'm always polite though.
You think you're at a job interview or something?
I'm always polite. I talk like this normally.
You are a polite young man. That isn't fair.
Actually. I actually do talk like this normally.
You have got impeccable manners. You've got good manners. Yeah.
Why has Rob got like a podcast voice on?
Yeah, but he stereotypes me, thinking I should sound another way. That's why he's brought this up.
As a male. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, 20-year-old males are not renowned for their manners. It's nice to see Boats has got some.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, I jumped to conclusions.
Yeah.
Speaking of conclusions, last two episodes, we heard a lot about each of you and your crimes and what got you here. And I think fair to say you both learnt a bit about each other across those episodes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Maybe about yourselves.
Yeah, Joe, it's mad though. How I was saying, I've known Boats for so long. I've never heard his story before. I had no idea.
That's how many questions you asked, Rob. Yeah. You have to stop talking about yourself.
Yeah, enough about you.
Yeah, to be fair.
Well, I don't like to pry.
Sure.
Boats is a very private person. You don't actually ask people. Well, I didn't really ask people like what their crime was, because some people might have felt uncomfortable to say, or some people might have done something really bad and they didn't.
Sometimes
want to
you don't want to know.
I learned that lesson when I said, what are you in for? He told me, I said, murder. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want to ask too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
This week, I think we should talk about your reflections from it all, your takeaway experiences.
Chance to look back and, yeah, see.
Chance to look back.
What, if anything, we've learned from.
And I want to know your reflections on the system that you saw,
yeah,
and your reflections on your own actions and experiences.
In terms of like, if we think jail works, is that what you kind of mean?
Yeah, for you. So the system, let's start with the system then. What have you learned about prison in general?
I think
You'd kickstart, definitely.
I mean, look, I'd had a very stereotypical view of prison that I'd read from the papers and a couple of TV shows. So it was a real eye-opener for me. I think, you know, to answer that question, you probably want to think about like what's prison there to do in terms of, I'll be honest, I don't know what the government stance is on that. You know, that's where it boils down to, I guess. They're the ones that put you in prison. So they should probably have an idea of, I mean, can you tell me as a lawyer?
Yeah, they view it as it should be a deterrent. There should be an element of punishment. It's to keep the public safe. I mean, that's why they're kind of built the way they are and wires around them. This idea that they need to be kept away from the public. And then rehabilitation. But the emphasis on...
Well, let's go through those one by one. Deterrent. I don't think it's a deterrent.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's a strong deterrent, I should say. And what
I'm talking about for you or for other people?
Well, I mean, there's nearly 100,000 people in prison, so I'd say it's probably not that powerful generally for the public. For me personally, let me finish on this one. I would say I'm now less worried about going to prison than I was first time round. So if that makes sense.
What, because you think you could handle it? Because
yeah,
you've
I think
handled
you
it once.
Not that bad.
I think that's a big thing.
Don't get
that's
me wrong. My desire to go to prison is, you know, still just as low as it was beforehand. I'm just less scared of it. But equally, it's a different kind of deterrent for me now. I'm just thinking I wouldn't want to throw away another year of my life.
Right.
Going there. But it clearly wasn't a deterrent for me, because I guess, you know, you commit fraud on that scale. Deep down somewhere, I'm mm-hmm. not an idiot, you know that prison is a fairly real possibility. Mm-hmm. So clearly it didn't work for me. It doesn't mean to say it's not a deterrent. I'm sure for some people it is a pretty effective, but I think if you were asking me, is it effective? I don't think it is.
So I guess which of those for you did it tick? I mean, it doesn't sound like it was rehabilitative, because you've not really got that nature of crime. It's not like you did any offending behaviour work while you were in there. There were no changes to be made in terms of your personality or achievements or things like that. So you probably didn't need to be in there for public safety.
No.
Keep the public safe.
I don't think so.
So I guess for you, quite straightforward punishment.
I guess so, yeah. But I guess I'm probably not their target market. Do you know what I mean? In some ways, not being funny, but I was probably slightly different to, Boats and I were probably slightly different than 90% of the people in there. We probably, a bit more common sense about us, probably a bit better educated and then 80% of the people in there was anecdotally from like what I saw in there. I mean, in a lot of ways, that makes it a lot worse that we ended up in there. we should have known better. But I think in terms of... So I guess in that sense, I'm probably not a fair reflection of, the system is not geared up to try and rehabilitate or affect... I don't like saying people like me, but I guess that's...
But back to what Rob said, I think that's quite scary because for a lot of people that have been to jail, after going through it and not fearing it, it's not going to make you any weary of committing a crime outside. Like, if jail was hard the first time, like I've been to jail twice. If the first time for me was that bad, maybe I wouldn't have done the second crime. Because if a lot of people don't go to jail because they're scared of it. A lot of people who have never been, they don't commit crime because they're scared of jail. People who
don't commit crime. Yeah.
A lot of people don't. Yeah. So after going to jail and experiencing what it was like, maybe if it was harder, maybe I would have fought harder not to get involved in anything.
That's really interesting, Boats. I guess a question for both of you is, how did prison differ? In what ways did prison differ from your expectations? And then I guess we could ask in what ways it was the same.
Yeah, I think for me, I guess going in, think of all those like kind of headline grabbing moments and you think of all the violence and all that kind of stuff. And I think actually I managed to avoid all of that kind of drama. And my overriding experience was it was just really boring. Mm. I think that's what they don't prepare you for is, in Wandsworth and in Highdown, I was on 23-hour lockdown. So,
We're saying that though. I thought it was going to be more boring. I thought prison was going to be more boring for me. Like, because when you get nicked, you're in the police cell. See, police cell is obviously worse than jail.
Because there's literally nothing in there.
Yeah, because if you've not been to jail, you're going to think, fuck's sake, I'm going to be living in that, basically. But then you go and then you get all these things that, and there's activities. Like, it's literally, like, you can go gym and stuff. Like, it's not as
boring.
It's
a different kind of
boring. I'm not saying jail's good. Obviously, jail's not good. But it wasn't as boring as what I thought.
I think you adjust to it quickly.
I think
you kind of have to.
That initial cut, yeah, exactly. I think that initial couple of weeks, you're definitely on edge. And, in Wandsworth, first few times I went in the showers and caught people doing drug deals and stuff, you're thinking shit and you fucking, there's a couple of airy moments there. But you're like, but I think after that, you sort of try and figure out as best as you can how to avoid that kind of stuff, not get involved in the drama, and you do your best to avoid it. And then once you've done that, you sort of settle down. And you sort of adjust to prison life. And then it is just 23 hours locked in a very small room. Mm-hmm. And that was the bit I probably wasn't ready for. And so I think, initially there's that relief of just, I'm probably not going to get my head kicked in unless I do something really stupid. And then you're just going, right, okay. So, my cellmate who can't read and does that, he's got the TV remote for 6 hours and you've got to put up with ITV4 reruns for that, which is, it sounds ridiculous, but when you're trapped in that kind of stuff, that's a different kind of stress to deal with, because you've got to like process that, and then you've got to try and just figure out a way to get through those long old days banged up, and 23 hours a day, but then there's quite a lot of times where you might go 2-3 days without getting out. And that was the biggest difference for me. I think that was the biggest change, was just it was dealing with boredom instead of day-to-day violence kind of stuff, which I'm not sure. But then you're right, Boats. I think, when we got to Rochester, when we were in CCAT, I hate to say it, but you adjusted, you're on what I would call like prison level then. So your default is, this is pretty turd. I mean, still at Rochester, we were what, banged up 17 hours a day.
Yeah.
Don't want to make light of it, but it felt like a summer camp at times. That summer, I watched every minute of the World Cup. We were out working in the gym. We got to train every day. They had a 4-a-side football pitch, AstroTurf. We were out there, playing football.
I think for Rochester, when I first got there, when you go on the induction, you walk around the jail, we got to walk around on our own. Normally, when we was in a BCAT, we was escorted everywhere by the guard. So even to just be walking around, and we were outside, so you get to look at the sky and little things like that, it make you feel like, this isn't that bad. Obviously it is because it's still jail. But that's how obviously the mind just...
It's those little, like I say, your default adjusts to like pretty shitty living. Yeah. And then so little things like I can walk outside for 5 minutes becomes a big, big plus. It's, so you sort of, it actually, in you know, if you chuck me back into Rochester now, I'd be fucking miserable. But in 2 weeks' time, I'd adjust. And then you just take little wins, I think.
Yeah.
That was the kind of difference I think I found. You know, I definitely didn't think I'd enjoy any element of prison. And there were good days in there. Mm. I mean, there were times when you're hanging out with good lads and you're...
Well, I was going to say, one thing that I think that I've taken from both of you is the people you've met, including each other, that you've taken something positive from that. Yeah, there's still people that you contact. And was that something you were expecting to do, to come out with mates?
No, not necessarily. No, because even after the first time I went, you meet people, you exchange numbers and that, but you end up not talking to them or like life happens. But even from the second sentence, you kind of wise up to the fact that not everyone's meant to be your friend. And but obviously, I met people that I could genuinely say are my friends, which I was surprised about.
Mm.
Yeah, I was very surprised about that.
Yeah, that's not something I thought I'd do. And yeah, especially, look, I think that there's also, a line to be drawn between when I was in the B-Cats and when you get to Rochester, it's a C-Cat and you manage to get onto the enhanced wing. And generally, that acts as a little bit of a filter to try and... You know, some of the wallies that are causing all the drama, you don't really see them much today to day. And, you know, when we were, in Rochester, we were gym orderlies. That's where I met Boats. And, you know, there were probably six or seven of us that were good lads. And you're just sitting around having banter with your mates. And again, you know, if you locked me in a room with only a CD player and some 30-year-old gym equipment now, I'd probably moan. But at the time, in the context of I'd done... you know, 4 months in B-Cat prisons at that point, that was really good going. So yeah.
And were the people you've become friends with people that you would have become friends on the outside?
I don't think I would have crossed paths with Rob. So it's funny just the way life works, because I wouldn't have probably met him under any circumstance. So no,
he wouldn't. Likewise. I think that's it. And look, you go, you know, Barry, I went and had lunch with Barry and his missus, and Alex and I went on Sunday. And, you know, Barry's a traveller, he's from the traveller community. I mean, I can't imagine his and I's paths would have crossed, but we're really good mates now. Mm. You know, we've stayed in touch and we're really good mates with them now, which is really nice. And I think, you know, I guess coming on to a bit maybe of your other question about like how we've changed or our perceptions have changed going through it, I think that's... look, the reality is I came from, you know, I think we live in a little bit of a bubble, you know, white middle class bloke, went to uni, worked corporate jobs up in town, that kind of stuff. You live in a bubble and you're only exposed to a certain type of person, I think, which I think we all are, you know, whether that's white middle class or whatever, you know, I think you're rarely exposed to people outside of that circle, or a lot of people are. That's something I really enjoyed from it. You go through that, you know, you're out of your comfort zone. You know, I definitely was. And it's a little bit like sink or swim. And you just, I think that's just individual, different people approach that differently.
What did you learn about your own resilience? Were you more resilient than you thought you'd be in that situation?
100%. But you have to be anyway. You do kind of have to be. I learned how to be comfortable in your own company, because obviously you have to then learn, especially when we went to Rochester and we had our single cells. The idea at first was so good, like you get your single cell, your own space, but you get so bored.
And on about night two, you realise that.
There's times where I just thought I wished I was banged up with someone just to bounce off with and talk to, but you just get used to it. And it's probably a good thing that I learned how to be comfortable being on my own and become more independent. Like, I wasn't independent before, but it just makes you be able to just to do things on your own and solve problems on your own without any help. So that's one good thing that I take from that, 100%.
I think so. I think there's a few things like that, yeah. I'm sort of wary of saying, oh, I was massively resilient, and, you know, because there are definitely downtimes. There are times, you know, in there where I really didn't feel, you know, and also a big part of this, I have to say, for me was initially that first month I was in there, I had, you know, two or three of my good mates on the same wing as me, which makes a massive difference. You know, that's chalk and cheese compared to when I went to High Down, and that was the first time on my own. That was a different experience, but by that point I already adjusted a bit to prison. But I think, yeah, I think I did learn I was quite resilient. I think, if I'm honest, you look back, and I'd like to think I wasn't too bad with this stuff. But before I went in, you sort of have a certain view of the type of person that goes to prison.
Yeah.
And then you're in there, and my overriding experience going through it was a lot of people in there just, they're not no different to me, but in terms of you look at like what got them in there, mm-hmm. some people that made some bad decisions yeah. a lot mm-hmm. of the time, you know, look, and there's some people that have done some horrible things in there. I don't want to detract from that, but a lot of people you speak to, you're like, oh, like you can just really relate to them. Like, yeah. you know, they've got a job and they wanted to try and they got a bit greedy, wanted to make a bit of money on the side. They cut a few corners or they did that. And I think, you know, that was something that surprised me. And look, you, I think you develop a lot of empathy for that whole system. I think people on all levels of that.
Mm. The same with me. It taught me not to judge. Not yeah, to judge
did it.
Even like what I said, like I think it must have been the first one of the first episodes. When my mum came to visit me the first time I went to jail, and she was like, "Oh, be careful who you're mixing with." And I was like, "One, I can't because we're all in the midst of each other.
Choice is a bit limited."
And also, like the her perception of people being in there, she don't know anyone. She doesn't know what people are like, and it just made me realize that we're all human and we all make mistakes. And like I met some people who the community might see as really bad from what they've done, but from knowing them on a personal level, you just realize that everyone's sort of the same, and people just, and there's always three sides of a story. There's always the truth as well. So like, it's
another t-shirt slogan from Boats.
It is, yeah, merch available soon.
Yeah. But like, it just taught me not to judge. Yeah.
I mean, when you say that, that it taught you not to judge, have you felt either of you, either when you were in there or since you've come out, judged by people around you, talking about your friends and family and also talking, I guess, about strangers?
Yeah, people judge all the time, but jail makes you thick skin, because even though you're away from everything, you rack your brain wondering what people are thinking. And you just, for me, I just thought, fuck it, people are going to think whatever they think. You just got to crack on and get on with things. So what people judge me with, it doesn't really bother me. You're going to be judged regardless, so why bother?
Exactly. I think you learn to get a bit more resilient from that. I think that sort of developed on the way before I went in to a certain extent. You know, people knew the circumstances and you sort of got to deal with, look, I've just got to sort myself out.
You've had to explain
and
as long as you think,
it sounds a bit cheesy, but as long as you conduct yourself in a way you're happy with, then, you know, if people want to, you know, have a problem with that, then there's always going to be people that are judging you and all that kind of stuff. Exactly what Boat said. I think you learn to get on with it. And I think the other thing I definitely learned in that sort of quite intense kind of micro environment is the power of making good choices and surrounding yourself with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is the option, all sorts of options in prison. You know, we've touched on it, but, you know, things like drugs and booze and everything else is like rife in there, and it's really easy. I mean, it's often easier to do it than not.
To do it, yeah.
And I think, you know, like I said, I made a conscious decision before I went in not to get involved in any of that stuff. And I think with that, you sort of then, you know, and then, so that's like the obvious stuff. But then I think like what we talked about, like the power of surrounding yourself with like positive people and like-minded people that don't want to be doing that.
Yeah. Also another thing that goes a long way. You probably know it from when you're young, like just to be respectful. Your manners go a long way, because being nice, especially in jail, will take you so far, because the govs are used to everyone slagging them off and giving them shit. So when you're polite to them, they'll go the extra mile for you, and that will make your life easier.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that obviously you learn that as a kid, and you just take it everywhere with you. Like that rule remains everywhere. Like just to be respectful and always conduct yourself properly.
And a lot of this stuff comes down to, like, it's a mindset thing, I think. You know, and look, there are always extenuating circumstances. And like I said, I'm lucky that I come from a relatively stable background. And I think that kind of, when I look at, you know, when I look back and I go, why is it that when I went through the prison service, I came out in a relatively good place and I've been able to sort of do quite well afterwards? I'm very conscious of the fact that a lot of that comes from, I've had a really nice upbringing and I've had a really comfortable, stable family, relatively stable sort of family environment in a lot of ways, and good friends and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's sort of sets it, and I think that sets you up well to cope well. But and then you, when you're inside, you just choose to be positive. You see a lot of people that choose to fight the system,
yeah,
and everything's an argument. Every day at bang up they're always late and they're always telling the govs to fuck off, and you just go, every day's a struggle for you and that's a fight, whereas just comply on that stuff, like, and your life becomes a lot easier.
The house always wins, so you can't beat the system, so you just got to fucking just always conduct yourself well.
And what you choose, you can choose to have fun in there, like, you know, we made it. We made the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
We'd sit round, we'd make omelets every day. You know, there were certain things that were like, oh, I'd say it's my environment, but then there were certain choices I made in there that mm-hmm. everyone could have done. Everyone in there could choose to try and work out.
Go to the gym.
Go to the gym.
Get your mind right.
Train. Yeah, exactly. I think. And you know, so there's a certain amount of that that was, I think, you know, I've definitely taken that since I came out, that, you know, if you can choose to make those decisions in a really tough environment, it's a lot easier when you come out into the kind of the real world. And it's not always linear. Look, I've said it, you know, since I came out, I struggled in a lot of ways when I came out, but I think you cling on to that. Try and make more good decisions than bad ones.
Mm.
And ultimately, you know.
I mean, speaking of bad decisions, bad decisions were the choices that led you to your offences. What has anything changed about that now? Like, could you see yourself making those decisions again? What is it that would stop you doing that?
That's tricky, you know, because like we're talking about is jail a deterrent? I think it's just down to the person. It's whether it is or it isn't. It's just down to you to think, because we're all humans. We all make mistakes. Like, I'm going to make bad decisions again. I'm going to be tempted to make bad decisions again. But it's just about, you just have to just think. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I just feel like. There's always going to be opportunities to do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to just deep down just think about the consequences. That's what it is. I need to always think about the consequences, because there's always going to be opportunities to do things. But it's just, I need to really always be conscious and mindful about where it could lead to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing with me. I think I sometimes don't add up where it could take me.
Right.
So I think as long as I keep as far ahead. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think as long as I keep that mindset, then I'll be more likely to make the right decisions.
Slow money's better than no money.
That's it. Is it?
Yeah, I think that's it. So, but I mean, look, coming back to ultimately, I guess it is a deterrent, because you're going, well, I don't want to throw away another year of my life. It's probably maybe not in the sense that a lot of people think of it as is that immediate kind of, oh my God, I don't want to go to prison. It's more like, I can't do prison again. Like,
it's not the day to day of being in prison. It's the wider
impact
on your families, on your futures, on your... Do you have any embarrassment or shame?
No,
I don't know.
About what you did or about having a criminal record now? Or I guess there's two quite big different questions.
Neither, if I'm honest.
I don't
look, rightly or wrongly, I don't. It's strangely, it's never been an issue for me coming out. I think, look, it helps that my family and friends were always pretty understanding. You know, I think if early doors I had someone confront me and do X, Y, Z, that maybe sets the tone on it. But no, the reality is it is what it is. I was a fucking idiot and made some bad decisions in my mid-20s.
You can't dwell on it. You can't really dwell on
it.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
And if you face difficulties, maybe it's too early to know, having a criminal record, has that held you back in any way, or have you had to do things that you wouldn't have had to otherwise?
Not for me, no. No, not for me. I don't think it's really held me back, because everything I do, even in terms of work, if you work for yourself, it's not really going to be affected that much. So I wouldn't say for me, no. So
I think that's it. Yeah, likewise. I think in the like fitness industry, we're both personal trainers. I think I get the impression that it's a bit more understanding than a lot of professions. I think, look, yeah, if I'd gone for a job in finance, I'd have met some issues.
And is that one of the reasons you've gone down this work route? Would you be doing this were it not for being in prison?
No, I was going to do it anyway.
You were going to do it anyway.
Before I went away, I'd had to have a bit of a career change anyway.
Right.
So I decided it was, yeah, probably quite a good fit for me. So it was something I wanted to pursue. So, and I was just fortunate to be able to get to do my course in prison. So.
Okay. What about you both?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing it before.
Apart from being a footballer.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, just went straight into that.
But both natural athletes. It was sort of the natural progression for both.
So let's say you've got one piece of advice from your personal experience to somebody about to go into prison, facing prison.
Like what everyone says, though, isn't it? Keep your head down. Everyone says the same thing.
Yeah.
Keep your head down, blah, blah, blah. The only advice I'd give to people is just be be respectful to everyone.
Okay.
Be respectful to, because that will make you, that'll make like life easier. It's very, I was going to say it's very rare that people are going to start trouble with you for being respectful to them, but obviously things
less rare.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if you're nice to people, it should make your time a bit easier.
Well, I'd have said that, but I mean, I think let's say that Boats and I are giving this as a pair, so they're allowed to get both bits of advice, so I won't give the same one. But I would say I think you've got to go and make a bit of your own luck in terms of if you want to get on a course, if you want to go and do that, you've got to just pester in a respectful way. But like, you know what I mean?
It's not going to come to you.
It's not nothing. If you just sit, left your own devices, you'll sit and do nothing for
basically,
your
basically, you're saying be busy.
Be busy, yeah.
Basically.
That's just your life advice.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a very helpful bit of advice, that.
Be busy.
Yeah, be as busy as possible.
Yeah. Another thing, a bit of advice I'd give is, for me, I don't know who advised me, but I said, get your mind right. Use it to get your mind right, as in terms of get your body right, get your mind right, as in read books, exercise. Because some people don't live like that on the outside. So maybe that's the time to transition your life and try and get a zen about you.
Do you think that was successful? Because I'm just thinking about someone I know who went in, who beforehand was like, oh, I'm probably going to come out learning Arabic and, you know, I'm going to do all these great things. And I'm not saying that they didn't make the most of some of the time they had. But I guess it's a bit like when you say you're going to go on holiday and read 5 books. Is, you know.
Read the right books.
Read the right books.
Yeah, get educated.
But did you manage to do that? Did you achieve it?
I said to myself I was going to read books, but the TV was always on, so I just...
Do I know the person that went away and said they were going to learn Arabic?
No comment, Rob.
Okay, good. Good to know.
Okay, and if you could change one thing about the system that you were part of at any stage, right from arrest through to end of your license, what would it be?
Food. I would double the food budget and give them 41p to spend a day.
And that would be enough per prison. Luxury.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I would change.
All right, guys, we're going to finish with quick fire questions.
Cool.
Fondest memory?
Gym.
Football in the summer at Rochester outside.
Lowest moment?
First night.
Scariest moment?
Lockdown. Yeah, there was a lockdown once when everyone was getting spun. So it was scary.
Because you had stuff in your cell.
Yeah.
So Boats is because he was scared of what was going to be found in his cell.
Nearly getting caught with a block of hash the size of a Dairy Milk bar down my pants.
That wasn't yours. Just to clarify, you really am. When you were in there, what did you miss most?
Good food.
Yeah, good food.
Boats has got a twinkle in his eye. Yeah.
Neither of us wanted to say shagging then.
What was your luxury item?
What was my luxury item?
Yeah. What was most luxurious to you while you were in there?
DVD player.
Yeah, PlayStation.
If you could change one decision you made?
Nothing.
I can't think of anything, weirdly. Okay. I can't think of anything I'd change.
Okay. Nicest person you met?
Boats.
Oh, what an ending. We've got to finish on that, haven't we?
It's awkward if he doesn't say me now, innit?
I just said you. I just said Rob. Even though he's busy.
Well, that is really lovely, guys.
That's a nice note.
And it was not quite worth it, but you've taken something from it at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every cloud.
Every cloud.
Exactly.
But I think we'll finish on that beautiful high.
Yeah.
It's been real, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers,
guys. Bye.